Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
If your business had no value for other humans, then you would have no customers. That's it, plain and simple. If you actually had a shit business, you wouldn't have any customers. And there are plenty of businesses out there that start that don't have any customers. They're in that not 4% that you talked about. They're in the bottom. They go bust. They go broke because they don't have enough customers.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And if you listened last Saturday, we started talking about things that we've changed our mind on over the years. We hit two in there and realized we should probably break this up. So here's two more today. I'm going to jump right in. This is something we heard at our live event. This is something I fucking thought a lot early on in my journey, is that like dropshipping is simply being a parasite. We give no value. We are simply looking for a way to find the next hot product, if you will, low ticket, high ticket, whatever it is. Find the hot niche, hop in there, and skim some sales off of the brands who are selling these products. And that's how we're going to make a living. And so, you know, for a long time, I truly thought this as well, John. We definitely heard it at our live event. Honestly, heard it from a very prominent member of our community as well, that he was starting to feel this way. And so did you ever feel that? I'll start with that. Did you ever feel like you weren't bringing any value as a, you know, as a drop shipper? If you, again, I hate the fucking term. We use drop shipping as a method of fulfillment. We are e-commerce retailers. Maybe we should rename this podcast to e-commerce a retail podcast, because, yeah. But you never felt that way?
I'm not going to say that thoughts along those lines never crossed my mind, but has it been something I've thought significantly? No, I don't think so. I don't think I've ever really thought that way. And I, look, honestly, I was surprised. Obviously, I know who you're talking about, and he knows who he's probably listening. He knows who he is, and shout out to you, buddy. But I was surprised to hear that come up in that circumstance, and I'm surprised to hear it. I mean, like, I can kind of get how people get there, I guess, but like, I think about it, you know, I think there's a couple of things I think about. The first is like, there have been businesses around doing what we do online in the physical world forever. Like, department stores do what we do, right? They sell other brands in a storefront. And those are considered very legitimate businesses. In fact, at periods of history, those have been the biggest businesses, like on the stock market or whatever. You know, some of the biggest businesses, you know. Probably they've dropped back a bit now in that sense, because times are changing and they're not as... We sell things online now. So those big storefront department stores are not really needed anymore, but in a lot of cases. But at the same time, you wouldn't think one of those is not a legitimate business. You don't go into like a store that sells other brands, a physical store, and go, well, look at these parasites. You know, fuck these guys. I'm not buying here. And walk out. Like, you don't do that. So why would you think that of yourself? You're doing exactly the same thing. Your storefront is just online rather than offline. There is no other difference. None. So if you think those businesses are legitimate, you're legitimate. And I think that's how I've always thought of my business, is I'm just the online version of a business that has existed in this world forever. For as long as people have been selling stuff, basically, or brands have been making stuff, those businesses have existed. That's why I exist. So if you're listening in and you'd like to take the first steps towards building your own high-ticket dropshipping business, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, where we've got a free training waiting for you that's going to walk you through the first steps you need to take to start your own high-ticket dropshipping business. And I'm going to walk you through an actual example of what one of these businesses looks like. The other way I think about it is a business is a business. Like, no business is better than others because of how they do what they do. Like, a business is a repeatable process that produces profit for its owner. That's all a business is. Like, so regardless of what a business does, being it, like, no business, like, I hate it when I see this online. Like, I saw this prominent guru once upon a time say, well, you don't have a real business unless you're doing this much revenue and you've got an office with this many staff in it and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, you fucking douchebag. Like, that's not true. Your business isn't better than mine because you've got more employees or because you make more revenue. A business is just a business. If it meets the test of it's a repeatable process that produces profit over time for the owner, then it's a good business. A bad business doesn't do that reliably. Whatever the business is you fit into that is no better or worse than anything else. Like that's kind of how I think about it. And by the way, that's the actual truth. Like, so I really find it hard to feel bad about what I do. And I think probably the third thing I think about it is like, you know, even if, you know, my business was for some reason deficient compared to others because of the nature of it, the fact that I've gone out and actually implemented it and I'm doing it successfully, and the person that brought that up at our live event is doing it very successfully, like I've done more than 99.something% of the world's population who don't even do it, aren't capable of doing it, right? And I feel good about that. Even if compared to other business owners, I don't think my business is that great. I think it's good just to take a look, step back and say, hey, you're actually doing something really good that most people aren't capable of doing for themselves or for the world. That's before we even get into the value that your business is actually bringing to the world. Maybe I'm sure you'll go into that because I know you talk about that very well. But I think those are the ways I think about this. So to me, it doesn't really come into the question that one business is better than the other, if you know what I mean, in that sense.
4% of businesses reach $1 million in sales. And this person we're speaking of who said it is well over $1 million in sales. And so he's in the top 4% of all businesses that have ever existed in the top 1% country, in the greatest country in the world. Maybe John might disagree with that, but like, think about that a second. When you say these, like you've built a great business. And so, oftentimes you think you're not bringing value. So I try to think of it as like, I live on a border city in between two states. There's a river separating us, pretty normal in this country. There's a beautiful downtown area right by there where you can rent e-bikes, and you can go into the little store where they sell, they sell bikes and they rent e-bikes, and you can rent the e-bike and you can take the little trail across the river and back over this beautiful bridge, or take it on any of the beautiful trails in this state or in Minnesota. And that person is just selling bikes from other brands. They're literally doing what we do. They do rent them, which is like an extra service that they offer. But every store on that Main Street strip that isn't a restaurant is doing the same thing that we do. Like there's a little olive oil shop that I love to go to. They don't make their own olive oil, right? They're just helping, repackage some olive oil from around the world. There's the e-bike place. There's all sorts of little shops that are 100% not parasites for those brands. They're building a real service and they're doing it in this little tiny neighborhood. And so I try to think of our online shop as the same thing, that we're bringing the value in the same way. What value do you get when you go to that store? You walk in and that person knows everything there is to know about e-bikes. He knows which brands you should buy and which brands you shouldn't buy. He understands every little technical detail about his products. That, again, they're not his products, they're brands that he sells, but he understands or she understands every technical detail and can help navigate you through what you actually need to help solve your problem. You're doing the same thing on your website. And so while you're selling the same product that someone else is selling, it's the person behind the screen that really matters. And how can you help them solve their problem? How can you help them get to their conclusion that they're looking for? Get them to the outcome that they're looking for. And that might be the same product that they could have went and bought somewhere else, but they bought it from you because you gave them value, you gave them service. And so, yeah, I've definitely changed my mind on this. And you know, in the beginning, I was just running ads and hoping for sales and making a few extra $1,000. And that's when I felt that way. When I realized, holy shit, there's a person behind the screen that I'm serving. And, you know, people start leaving reviews of like, talk to Ben on the phone. He was super, super helpful. I'm glad I got here. He helped me understand what I needed and didn't need. And like, once you realize you're serving a person, then every little tick in your analytics is a human behind the screen who needs your help. And you realize you're helping these people. That's what shifted it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's right on. And I think that's the best way to think about it. I mean, I think, you know, you can think about it the same way, some of the ways that I talked about earlier, but I think that's the true way. If your business had no value for other humans, then you would have no customers. That's it, plain and simple. If you actually had a shit business, you wouldn't have any customers. And there are plenty of businesses out there that start that don't have any customers. They're in that not 4% that you talked about. They're in the bottom. They go bust. They go broke because they don't have enough customers, because customers don't think they're not meeting a need or solving a problem that people actually have. What we do does, and does time and time again. There's so many examples of it. We, you know, if you build one of these businesses, a high ticket dropshipping business, in the right way, and you do a lot of the things that we've talked about on this podcast now for years, you are going to be solving problems for people that they have in your particular niche. And that's value. And that makes your business a valuable business to people. How you look at it is going to be very different from how your customers look at it. So I would absolutely say, if you're looking at it and you're not feeling great, but you've been making sales, as Ben says, look at the feedback. Look at what, you know, look at the fact that people are coming to your website and going, oh, wow, because they could be buying from other people, but they're choosing to buy from you. So that means in the customer's mind, your business is better than other businesses. That's what they're saying every time they purchase from you. They're saying, we feel the best about your business in your niche. And so we're going to put our trust in you that you're going to solve our problem for us, which is that we need this product and, you know, we need to know how to use it and all of the other stuff around that. And that's a really good thing. And that's all any business does, is solve problems for people. And so you're doing that. You're doing that every time you sell a product. You're doing that every time somebody reads your content on your site. You're potentially doing that every time you send an email to somebody that has, you know, valuable information within it. There are so many ways that you do that. And then, of course, always remember that a dropshipping business, a high-ticket dropshipping business, can be a launch pad to other things if you want it to be. So, you know, if you're looking at your business and you're saying, well, I think I could add more value to the market here by bringing better products to the market, well, go and fucking do that. You can do that. If you've got a customer base, there's nothing stopping you from going and finding ways that you can improve upon existing products or filling a gap that's not already filled, whether it's with accessories, whether it's with the core product, whatever it might be, and build your own brand around that. I mean, that's the eventual pathway here, right? And so if that's your hang up, that you think your business is not great because you don't produce your own products and you're just selling other people's products, well, go and make your own product. Like, scratch that itch. You can do it. It's not that hard.
It's a natural path anyway. You mentioned big box retailers. If you go into a Walmart or a Target or wherever, they've got their own line of products. And they know you're coming there to shop for some things. And they'll also have their own products that are ancillary to it. It's like a very easy step for you to take in this business. So anyway, you know who you are. You're an absolute beast. You'll get over this, I promise. As John and I have, we've changed our mind on this over the years. And not only that, we've changed our mind on one other thing that we want to talk about on the show, which is sharing your niche. And I think this comes from the old community we spawned from, John, back in 2014, 2015. It was very commonplace that, don't tell anyone. Like, someone's going to find out your cute little niche, and they're going to come in there and dominate you. They're going to take sales from you. I changed my mind on this one really, really early on. I thought this was the dumbest thing ever, that all these people were building businesses that they wanted people to like shop at, and you weren't willing to say, hey, I own this business. If you know anyone in the market for that, like, you know, I think it's the silliest thing. I do think we've changed that in ours. Like, you come to a live event, we had people who are now in our community, they've been in that community and other communities, where they come to our event and they're like, wow, I did not expect everyone to be so open about their business. It's something we really harp on at live events. I remember feeling like I had something special in my cute little 3D printer niche, that if somebody found it, they were gonna crush me. And so I've definitely changed my mind, and I changed my mind on it a long time ago, but I still see it come up. When did you change your mind on sharing your niche?
Yeah, I mean, it was a while ago. I'm not gonna say it probably didn't change as early for me as it did for you. But I mean, you know, I certainly share things that I sell, particularly by myself, publicly now. I kind of get some of the concern with doing it. I mean, there are certainly people out there who will, if they think you're doing well, who will try and copy you, for sure. I mean, I'm not going to lie. That does happen, right? It's happened to me. I've had people cut and paste my entire website, like literally copy the website almost exactly and put it up. And it's up for a little while. And it's annoying. Yes, it's annoying. But you can fix that. It's not actually that hard. But the notion that your niche that you're doing is somehow you're the only person that's thought of that, or like you're on a secret, or it's just not the case. Like I do all of our niche checks for all of our students, which is in the thousands now that I've done over time. And I can literally tell you the last time I saw an idea that I have never heard before, that is so rare. Maybe that happens once every couple of years, right? People come up with a lot of the same ideas. Not everybody's coming up with the same ideas, but the fact is nobody right now is in a niche that nobody else has thought of before. So if that's your fear, like I'm protecting something secret, then you're just not. You're really not. And people that are like in the space, like people aren't just sitting around going, oh, I can't wait until I hear about somebody's niche because I'm just going to go and do it straight away. Like particularly people who already have a business that they're working on. You know, I'm not just going to drop everything because I heard somebody over there is doing 100,000 a month in sales and go and open a business in their niche. Like, yes, there are some scabs that will do that, but they're lazy people. They disappear. You can get rid of them pretty easy. They're a little bit annoying, but they always disappear. And not to mention the fact that your business is rarely, like if you really want to find out what somebody's business is, you can. There are ways, right? There are ways.
It's not what you sell that makes you successful either, right? So I'll give you a concrete example.
It's not. Yeah.
The literal worst case scenario that is coming in your head right now fucking happened to me. And I've walked you through it on this podcast before. I was business partners with, we'll call him Guy A. That business, we sold it. And Guy A heard how good I was doing on the golf business and immediately went and found somebody else selling the same stuff. Said, I can do everything that they're doing over there. I'm better than Ben. Copied us to a T. Every fucking piece of content you can imagine. Rewrote it. It's unique. All that good stuff. They did everything that we were doing according to them. And they came crying to us and said, please buy my business. It didn't work. I had to buy that little snake out. That worst case happened. But it's not like what we were selling was the difference. You can go sell the same shit I sell, but you probably can't repeat all the stuff we're doing on the back end. We have a partner who absolutely crushes on sales. And you can go sell the same stuff as her, but she's going to fucking destroy you. Because when the phone calls come in and she answers them, or the team that she has trained answers them, they're going to close them. And you're not going to close them as easily as they are. And so it's often shit you're doing in the back end. The sales you're closing on the phone, the emails you're sending in the back end, the word of mouth you're building up, the goodwill you're building up by just being a good fucking human. I promise you that comes back around. Word of mouth starts to really build for you. And so I think people should be shouting from the rooftops what they sell, so that other people can talk about your business for you. You should be everywhere. You should be commenting on every little Twitter thread you see of people talking about your products. You should be giving value everywhere you possibly can, because why wouldn't you? No one else is going to do it for you. You should do it. And so, I don't know, this one, I could rant about this one a little harder than most, I think, because, you know, the worst case scenario happened to me, and then they came crawling back to buy their business. It was not a big deal. And, I think my mind was changing before then, but it really changed that day of like, who cares? Like, I need to be out here promoting my own business.
Yeah, I think people do move past this over time. I think you feel this the most in the beginning where, you know, you've got the easy brands to get online and you're maybe finding a bit of traction just with ads. And it can feel like that could go away at any second and you're really worried about it for that reason. And those, like, yes, anybody can put up a website and run ads. But like you say, like, for people who go on and make something decent with this business model, I'm not even talking about really high numbers, but just, you know, they get to seven figures or beyond, it's rarely because of the niche, or it's rarely because of the ads they run even. Honestly, it's the back end stuff. It's the stuff you don't see, and it's the stuff you can't easily copy. It might be like once again, I mean, you if you've had your business running for 2 years and you've been doing the SEO work, somebody can't just come into your niche and replicate that overnight. Even with AI, you just can't. Like, I know there are people out there that would like you to believe they can put up a, you know, website and compete with you in like a month or two on SEO and it's going to stick there for ages. Bullshit. I call crap on that right now. Not in e-commerce, you can't. So I just don't see it. Not to mention, like, you know, it makes it really hard for people to help you with your business. Like, I get people all the time who are like, oh, you know, they're like, can you tell me what I should be doing for blah, 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 and blah, and they haven't told me what their business is. And I'm like, no, I can't. You're like, no business is the same. No two businesses are exactly the same. And often the gold is in the nuance, right? And so if I don't know what your website is or your niche is, I'm not going to be able to give you any good help on what you should be doing. Because a lot of what you do, like in our last episode, we were talking about offers, right? Well, your offer is entirely niche and competition dependent. So how could I give you advice on your offer if I don't know what niche you're in or who your competitors are? I can give you zero advice on it. And I wouldn't. I would say to you, like, sorry, bud, I can't help you until I know this, this, and this. That's it. And nobody else can help you either. So, you know, I think in the long run, you're only hurting yourself by keeping, and it's very much, it's not a growth mindset. It's the opposite. It's a scarcity mindset, right? So if you're stuck in a scarcity mindset that nobody else can know what you do, then you probably have a scarcity mindset for everything else that you do, right? You're probably that penny pinching mindset person. And that person's going to struggle more than they need to. So, like, you have to realize, like, I mean, at our live event, our VIP event that we just did, we had, like, you know, like in a small room, we had three people in the same niche, broadly speaking, right? They all know each other and they all know what they sell. Is that affecting them knowing that and being in the same room and hearing the same things and talking to each other and hearing what each other's doing? No, of course not. They'd probably be stronger for it, to be honest.
I love this one because it's deep rooted from where we came from, John. There's just, you know, it's quite often you and I speak about things that aren't spoken about in all of the high ticket dropshipping community. And I would say this is another one where we tell people to share, where I think it's either told not to or just unaddressed in other communities. And so if you're listening to this and you're in one of those other communities and you'd like to come over to the dark side, we'd love to have you over here. Share your niche and grow your business to what it should be. And that's going to come with being public about what you're doing.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.